Yes, it's Health Naturally, and Dennis is going to do more talking than I am today. Hello, Dennis. Nice to see you.
How are you?
I'm good, thank
you. I'll stand in. I'll
thank
do
you
the
very
job
much.
For you. You
thank
can talk
you.
About herbs.
Okay. Now, Dennis, last week you discussed the characteristics of Western herbal medicine. Mm-hmm. You also said that there were three North American herbs which were outstanding representatives of the Western herbal tradition: slippery elm, golden seal, and echinacea. Today you want to talk about the herb golden seal, but first, could you briefly review the remarks you made about slippery elm, seeing as it was so popular last week?
Yes, look, I think it's valid that we do that because there was a great deal of interest from listeners, but also people contacting me wanting more information about the herb that I selected as being perhaps the best representative of what we call the Western herbal medicine tradition. And interestingly, that, of course, is an American herb, botanically known as Ulmus fulva. But I also selected two herbs that are very close running mates with it. And they are the herbs golden seal and echinacea. For listeners that missed the segment last week on our slippery elm, let me just say, if you keep in your mind that its major purpose, I would contend, is as a soothing and protecting herb for the gastrointestinal tract. I think I emphasised that fairly well last week. So for people that have what we used to call hyperacidity, these days going under various names, but certainly for conditions that are characterised by irritation of the upper gut, conditions that have been well defined by their doctors, shown not to be any nasty, but where there is discomfort and a degree of reflux, I contend that slippery elm is remarkable for its capacity to soothe the gut and to promote healing. I also argued last week, from my experience, I validated it, that the effect of slippery elm powder can be asserted all the way through the gastrointestinal tract. It has a protective effect on the upper gut and also on the lower gut. And I emphasised last week that it had a very, very sound role to play in assisting what we call transit time through the gut and also helping develop better stool characteristics. So overall, my contention is that this herb is so popular because it addresses so many problems that so many of us experience. And if listeners could just go away with that understanding that it is something to think about when one is battling minor, mild conditions of the gastrointestinal tract, upper and lower.
This is Health Naturally on 2NURFM. We're going to get to the calls straight away. We've got Gail from Harrington on the line. Hi, Gail, how can we help you?
Good afternoon. I was wondering if Dennis can help me with a product called Berberine. I have high cholesterol, and my doctor put me on a tablet, and it made me very sick, and I've had to go off it. Mm-hmm. And he's letting me go for a month with nothing and go back and see what my readings are. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I read an article about berberine being able to help you.
Gail, I know a fair bit about berberine. To start with, it's an alkaloid. And the moment you hear the word alkaloid in the context of herbal medicine, you also should realise that alkaloids are some of the most potent substances found in herbs, and when they're isolated from the herb, I worry. So whilst I know that berberine is a useful component, particularly found in the herb known as golden seal, there it is one of a number of constituents where I believe that it brings about a useful, mild, antimicrobial or antibiotic effect, which is validated and majored on by people such as myself in using the herb golden seal containing the substance berberine to address mild infections. Its use as a cholesterol reducing agent, it's not something that I use.
Okay.
I think that the first thing I'd have to ask, Gail, is what sort of cholesterol level are you worrying about, or what is your doctor concerned about? What's your level?
My doctor said my not your normal cholesterol, but your other cholesterol. He said it's too high. It should be, I don't know, 2.6 or something, and mine's 3.7.
Okay, well,
so look, the bad cholesterol, okay, he's talking about.
Well, look, my approach to this would be to say that there are a number of substances which have a broad spectrum effect on so-called cholesterol levels. The first thing to realise is that a fibre, particularly what's called soluble fibre,
yes,
is useful for helping to reduce lower levels or mild levels of cholesterol and the various components of it. Now you can get soluble fibre in very many forms in your pharmacist. Would be able to give you advice. I'm not permitted to make brand names, and I wouldn't want to, but a soluble fibre has the effect, if I can be quite simple, of mopping up cholesterol in the gut and helping exit it through the gastrointestinal tract. And,
okay,
for lower levels of cholesterol elevation, as well as the benefits of fibre generally on the gastrointestinal tract, it has a good documentation. If you went to your pharmacy, he would know the substances I'm talking about. Beta-glucan or beta-glucan is one of the agents that is a good soluble representative, which I have no problems in recommending to patients of mine who want to go down the pathway of using things like that to lower the mildly elevated level of cholesterol components. Secondly, however, there are a group of substances called phytosterols, P-H-Y-T-O, sterols, S-T-E-R-O-L-S, sterols. Now, don't be overwhelmed by that. They are plant constituents. I hope I'm not sounding like I'm giving a lecture on plant chemistry. I leave that to one of my graduate students, Andrew Pengelly, who is brilliant in his literature that he's written on plant constituents. How are you, Andrew? If you're listening to me up there on the high country in Queensland, welcome to the program again. But look, the use of phytosterols, they work differently to soluble fibre in as much that, to say it simply, whilst soluble fibre promotes a better binding and exiting of cholesterol from the system, the phytosterols lessen the uptake of cholesterol from the large bowel back into the circulation. In other words, I'm being very simple when I say that cholesterol, components of cholesterol, reabsorbed across the bowel wall, can contribute to a stubborn elevation of cholesterol. By getting some phytosterol products, again, there are numerous members of the family. Your health food store or pharmacy, again, would be able to get those from the shelf there, an over-the-counter product. I would think that if I were in your situation, I would use those two products because of the documentation there is at many levels to support their safety and the way in which they work. I'm not denying that berberine might be useful. I've not used it. It is an alkaloid, and I'm always worried about alkaloidal products being perhaps used indiscreetly for conditions that traditionally they may not have been used for. Now, that is my opinion, but in the area of soluble fibre combined with phytosterols, I think your pharmacist would agree with me that that is a very safe and economical way of going down the pathway.
Okay, thanks, Dennis. So somebody told me, like, psyllium husk. Soluble fibre?
Correct. Psyllium husks are a good representative of soluble fibre, as is slippery elm, by the way.
So slippery elm.
If the term soluble fibre is what to keep in your mind, because that indicates something that goes through the system and has a healthy effect rather than having a... some forms of fibre, I believe, can be potentially irritant, whereas soluble fibre has always been a favourite of medical herbalists, and psyllium slippery elm and other forms of soluble fibre are a good, safe way of addressing many conditions, including, as I've said, mild elevation of cholesterol.
Thank you so much for your call, Gail. We really appreciate it. Next on the line, we have Graham from Singleton. Hi, Graham. You want to talk about shingles?
Yes, I'm in a stage of the itchy stage. I've gone past the blisters.
Yes.
And the painful stage.
Yes.
So I'm into the itchy stage.
Okay. Have you discussed this with your doctor?
I have, yes.
Shingles is a nasty condition, but inasmuch that you've moved on from the initial stage, at least you're not experiencing any pain any longer?
No, not so much. It's more itching.
Okay. Now, look, I'm going to mention something very simple, and I had an occasion to fall back on this remedy myself in recent times. But it's the simple preparation that you would have been raised on, calamine lotion.
Oh, yes.
Calamine lotion is inexpensive, as you would know. It's available from our good pharmacists, and it has a component in it these days which is very effectively anti-itch. I can vouch for that. So I think that it would be a good way to go to try. My budding herbal companion here has just flashed aside suggesting tea tree, and that is useful also. However, my recent experience, again using a bit of calamine lotion for a very pruritic, there we go, technical word for itch, for a very itchy condition, demonstrated its efficacy. Either way, but I'd have to say I'd veer in the direction of calamine lotion first. Have a yarn with your pharmacist.
Okay.
Good luck with that, Graham.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the call. And we've got Mark from Rutherford on the line. Thanks for holding, Mark. How can we help you?
Good morning. I've got one question. I have a lot of mucus on my chest early every morning. Mm-hmm. And it's been suggested to me that I should try herbal detoxing for my lungs. So I thought you might be able to help me with that.
Mark, I'll ask a few questions because the term detoxifying of the lungs is a pretty broad term. But I'm more interested in the fact that you say that each morning you are very mucousy.
Yes, and only in the morning. Okay. Usually for a few minutes and then I'm good again for the rest of the day.
Okay. Now, there's this mucus. Is it easily brought up, so to speak?
Yes.
And it's clear?
Yes.
No colour attached to it?
No.
Okay. Have you had any underlying respiratory conditions along the way?
Recently diagnosed with asthma.
Okay.
I'm now in my 60s and been diagnosed with mild asthma.
Okay. And you've discussed the mucus condition with your GP?
Yes. I've had a few samples sent away from time to time, and it's always come back clear.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yep.
Look, a couple of things. I tend to think at times that congestion is related more to what's happening in the upper respiratory tract. Mucousy conditions, sinusy states, used to be called catarrhal conditions. They're very frequently, in my experience, a factor that can be associated with mucus, particularly mucus that has drained from the sinuses overnight is gathered in the upper part of the lung, perhaps. One of the things that I would suggest is that you begin to use a combination of quercetin and bromelain. Quercetin and bromelain. Now, both those remedies, well, they come together, in fact, in a combination, very inexpensive. And the bromelain is a remarkable agent. It's the enzyme extracted from the pineapple. And it has a reputation for being mucolytic. That means resolving mucus, both in the upper respiratory tract, primarily there, but also in the lung.
Okay.
The quercetin is a well-known bioflavonoid, but in natural medicine it is used a lot to address mild inflammation of the respiratory passages. So anyone presenting in my clinic, for instance, with anything from a sinus to a lingering a case of mild bronchitis,
yes,
I would, as part of their management, suggest going on to some bromelain and quercetin, again, right, readily available from good health food stores or some pharmacies.
Okay, I've got that down. Yep, lovely.
I would start that. But look, one thing that I'd also suggest is there's a particular remedy that's known as a cell salt. Now, cell salt's an old term that's used to describe micronutrients that are in our body at the best of time, but they were made famous by the Austrian physician, Dr. Schüssler, who years ago argued that a deficiency in one or more of the tissue salts contributed to states of illness or disease. Now, his famous remedy was a microscopic dose of what's called kali myrrh, that is the Latin for saying potassium chloride, in a microscopic dose. Now, what do we mean by a microscopic dose? We're talking about a very, very low dose.
Minimal. Yep,
in what's called a tissue salt, or in the old days, it was also known as a biochemic remedy.
Okay.
A lot of elderly people still use them and frequently come into my rooms to get replacement of them, and it's sad that they're not as popular as they used to be.
Okay, because, I'll take that on board.
Yeah, kali myrrh, it comes in what's called the 6X potency. I know that sounds a little bit esoteric, but anyone that where you go to get them, that's what to look for on the label.
Now,
also, what you need to keep in mind is where there's been a background of bronchitis or bronchial activity, make sure that part of your diet or your supplements contain what are called warming herbs. Now, in traditional systems of medicine, the lung is considered to be a vessel that responds to warmth, particularly coming from what are called warming herbs. And one of those most favourite ones is simple ginger. In other words, what I would be suggesting, if this is troubling you, that not only take into account the other two things I've said, get hold of some ginger capsules.
I will do.
And yep, take those.
That's great advice. Yep. Yep.
I think if you were to do that, I'd be surprised if something didn't happen for you.
Okay, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I'll try that.
Okay.
We'll go with the herb in person and we'll see where that goes from there. But thanks very much for that.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks very much, Mark. And we've got Christine on the line from Austerley. Where's that?
It's near Roman Terrace.
Oh, there you go. I just learnt something new.
Halfway between Roman Terrace and Hinton.
Right. Okay. There you go. I'll add it to my weather locations now.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so you've got blocked sinus issues.
That's my daughter. Mm-hmm. She's been sick for probably 2 months now. It just seems to roll from one thing to another. But I think she had influenza.
Yes.
Then she got what the doctor called like a rebound pneumonia.
Yes.
And she's had blocked sinuses, had the chest infection. She's had everything. I know she's doing the head over the hot bowl of water with eucalyptus in it. She's had that many antibiotics. She's trying to do everything, but the last thing the doctor said was it looks like she'll have to go and have a scan done.
Okay.
And she's had like a dull headache.
Mm. And how old more is like she? When she looked,
sorry?
How old is your daughter, Christine?
47.
Okay. Look, I'll make a few recommendations here because some of these stubborn after effects of particularly viral infections can really entrench themselves.
Mm.
And the end result is that the tissue, particularly in the sinuses, becomes very inflamed.
Yep.
And as a result of that can block, if you like, the sinus passages, can inhibit easy breathing. And whilst the use of inhalations I'm a firm believer in, I would suggest in her case she should look at it from the perspective of trying to resolve this underlying what I would call immune system hiccup.
Mm.
I would see it as a residue of the viral condition that she initially had.
Yep.
And what I would suggest, therefore, is pretty similar to what I suggested earlier. and I'm sure your good doctor would not object to this, the fact that she's had multiple antibiotics and that hasn't cleared the issue tends to point in the direction of residual inflammation and the accompanying difficulty in breathing. I would suggest you take on board what I've said about the quercetin and bromelain as almost a necessary supplement to help clear the sinuses, to break up some of the congestion and to promote its drainage. I would suggest that well and truly. The second thing that I would suggest is, seeing it's in the upper respiratory tract and the fact that there's been a pre-viral background to it, I would suggest a combination of two herbs that are frequently combined, and that is the herb echinacea in conjunction with the herb golden seal. Now, those two herbs are considered to be a classic combination of antimicrobial and immunosupportive remedies, golden seal and echinacea. You can get hold of them as individual capsules or a medical herbalist or a pharmacist with a dispensary could blend the two together for you in a liquid form where it would be dosed accordingly.
Okay.
So that would be one way. And don't forget, even though it is frequently forgotten, good elevated dosages of vitamin C.
Okay.
Now, I know there's still a degree of cynicism in what I call the straight medical circles. A lot of my medical colleagues, however, would agree with me that the use of good elevated dosages of vitamin C can assist in recovery and lessen the recurrence of some of these wretched after effects.
Yes, it's I just won't let her go. It's just one thing after another, and she's got on. There's nothing of her now.
Oh, dear, dear.
You're wearing a damn poor bugger.
Well, so this is where the role of immune-enhancing herbs like echinacea come into their own. And it's a bit sad these days that, in my opinion, we've been overwhelmed, if you like, by the tsunami of Chinese herbs, when some of the best and most proven herbs, in my opinion, are from the Western tradition, and the seemingly reluctance of some to use these herbs from our own tradition that are so well known, so well documented, and echinacea is still one of the most remarkable, certainly one of the best used, and one of the best-selling herbs throughout the whole of the Western world. That should be part of the management.
Well, thank you so much for that. I'll pass that information on to
her. I'm sure she'll do well.
I hope so.
Thanks very much, Christine. Appreciate your call. This is Health Naturally on 2NURFM 103.7. Now, Dennis, you're a great promoter of Golden Seal. Can you tell us about your connection with it and its medicinal value?
I could talk about it all day. We're running out of time. I'll give an introduction to
it.
Golden Seal is a remarkable remedy, and its main benefit is that it functions at multiple levels. It's a potent immunostimulant herb. That is, it's used for depressed immune system conditions. Secondarily, it is a natural, mild antimicrobial agent and has a great role to play in recurring infections of the gastrointestinal tract. As I've said earlier in the program, it works remarkably well in combination with the herb echinacea, which I'll talk about in more detail next week, where it's what we would refer to as an infection fighter, particularly for chronic infections of the respiratory system, stubborn infections that keep recurring, that defy the assault of antibiotics, that say as much about a depressed immune system as they do about any pathology. In that case, Golden Seal shines. There would be very few conditions of the lower respiratory system, such as bronchitis, or of the upper respiratory tract, such as sinusitis, that I would not recommend the use of golden seal with its remarkable chemistry. It is, these days, one of the most expensive of all the Western herbs. In fact, its habitat in North America has become so denuded of the herb due to its usefulness and its popularity in the Western world, particularly amongst Western herbal users, that it is now virtually banned from collection in the US and from Canada also. The good thing about it is, and this is the exciting thing about it is, I've had a lot to do with a great friend of mine, a chap called Tony Hoseman, and I'm sure Tony wouldn't mind my mentioning his name. He has become what I would consider to be the leading cultivator and exponent and grower and promoter of golden seal in Australia. I'll talk more about this fascinating contact with Tony, and I'll just mention to listeners, if you're interested in golden seal, we have something up on the website, and that is the front page, if you like, or cover of Tony Hoseman's book entitled Medicinal Herbs, Potential Crops for Australia. I'll talk more about this fascination, friendship, and where it's led to in the cultivation of this rare and very worthwhile cultivating herb.
Okay, well, next week we'll have to continue with that, I suppose. Yeah, in the meantime, we've got Michelle on the line. Hi, Michelle. You want to talk about the flu and remedies that are useful for it?
Yes, hi. Look, he's probably just answered everything then with that, because I missed what he was saying. Hello, I'm back on with you.
Yes.
I missed what was said earlier. Okay. With the flu remedies.
Okay.
My 91-year-old mum.
Oh, dear. That's nasty, isn't it?
Yeah. So I've been giving her echinacea and garlic.
Good. That's a good start. That's a good start. That's a very, very good start. Look, I always, in these chronic elderly conditions, recommend a course on the combination known as Astragalus 8. Now, Astragalus 8 is a good retriever of a depressed immune system, so that people that are battling to throw off an infection, that have not responded well to the mainstream treatment of antibiotics and steroids, here I think the correct dosage of the correct form of Astragalus 8 would be my immediate response to helping your mum.
Does that mix with other medications or okay?
Look, it is not something that needs to be supplied by script, so there's already an inbuilt safety factor associated with it. But mum is probably on other medications, so I would think that if you're going to use that preparation, it would be wise to run them past a qualified medical herbalist or a pharmacist that should know something about the possibility of one or more of the eight herbs in the formula clashing with anything that mum's taking. I would think, due to mum's age and her condition generally, that even my confidence in the herb Astragalus needs to be tempered by saying that it should be administered, in mum's case, with the knowledge of someone who can look at possible interactions.
I can certainly do that. Mm. Would that be the same as Astra 8?
Yes. Astragalus 8, Astra 8.
All right.
They're all the names that speak about the similar formula that I brought into Australia probably 30 years ago under various names. So
I'm at the chemist right now.
Well, there you go. Well, look, you know I'm a great supporter. I'm a great supporter of our pharmacists.
Okay. Wonderful. Good luck with that, Michelle. Thank you very much. This is 2NURFM. We are out of time. Dennis, we'll catch you next week for Health Naturally on 2NURFM.
Yes. To do that.
Looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you.
Thank you.